Have you ever wondered how missionaries would begin preaching and teaching in a new field? When our missionaries go into a new part of the world or into a new community, have you ever tried to figure out how they would get started preaching the gospel? What do you think they'd do and how do you think they'd talk? Suppose a Christian person meets a stranger that he has never seen before, and they get into conversation. At what point would a Christian be able to start talking to this other person about the gospel? Or, to come back again to my first question, if a man were going into a community to start preaching, how would you go about it? Have you ever wondered how Paul went about preaching in a new field? Well, we can see this now in the book of Acts in chapter 17. And if you turn to chapter 17, the first three verses will give a description. It's a sort of a record, a pattern that Paul would have followed anywhere that he went. And this is the way these verses read in chapter 17 of the book of Acts. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. This is what we could call the classic approach. Now let's just break it down and look bit by bit just what we have here. He came to this city of Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, a synagogue, you know, was a place for public assembly for religious purposes, a sort of a church building. It was a Christian education building, except they weren't Christians. It was a religious education building, a Jewish education building. And this company of people, a Jewish congregation, met there for the purpose of instructing each other in the things of the law. And Paul went there as a Jew, and joined in with them. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. That is, he approached them. It's characteristic of the Christian gospel, we take the gospel to the people. Whenever you get to the place where the church is standing there ready for the people to come to it, that's a different story. When it's a case of the people from the outside have to come to the church and ask the church, that's a different story than it was with the early apostles. The early apostles went out and offered what they had to the people. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. In 3 weeks' time. Three Sabbath days. You see, on the Sabbath day was the day the people came to the synagogue. That was the one day in the week they gave over to talking about the things of the Lord. That was the day on which they read the law of God and listened to interpretations of the law of God. And they spent a long time in their synagogue services. They would be there for hours, and they'd be talking about these things. The day was given over to it. You see, the Sabbath day for them was a day for the worship of God. I'm not claiming that every single Jew would be there, but I am saying that the responsible people in the community would be gathered together there for the public worship of God, and Paul, as his manner was, would go in among them and was reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. The Scriptures, you know, that they had was the Old Testament. And he took the Old Testament and he talked out of it. And the next verse tells us what he said. Opening and alleging. Opening means opening up the meaning of the passage. He'd read a sentence and then discuss it with them. And alleging, that is saying, that Christ must needs have suffered. Now, we want to be careful at this point. When he is saying this, he is not referring to Jesus of Nazareth. That comes later in the verse. Christ is an Old Testament term. It's the Messiah. It's God's chosen one. The Old Testament said that one day God would send his chosen representative, his righteous servant, into this world who would open the way for people to come to him. So Paul argues that the Old Testament teaches that this Messiah should suffer and rise again from the dead. Now, the Old Testament had plenty of evidence that Messiah would suffer. The 53rd of Isaiah is in the Old Testament. And they had plenty of evidence that the Messiah would rule. There are passages in Isaiah and passages in Jeremiah, passages in Ezekiel, passages in all the prophets that tell you that the Messiah would rule. Daniel says that Messiah, the prince, would be on the throne. And David was told that a member of his household, a descendant of his, would sit on the throne forever. This was in the Old Testament. And this is the one whom the Old Testament calls Christ. And so Paul argued that according to the Old Testament, this Messiah, this Christ, should suffer, but also he should reign. And so Paul brings in to show that the only way he could suffer unto death and reign forever would be that after he had suffered, he should be raised from the dead. Now that was implicit in the Old Testament. There was such a passage as would say, for example, thou wilt not leave thine Holy One, and thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to remain in hell. And there are other expressions, such as that Messiah would live forever in his sight, words like that. Well, now, with these passages, and knowing the resurrection, as Paul found it out, and knowing that Jesus was alive, as Paul found out on the Damascus Road, he could reason and argue with them from the standpoint of his own personal conviction and show them in the Old Testament that this is what the Old Testament scriptures pointed out. In other words, setting out before them all the way along that the scriptures taught that Christ, that this chosen one of God, would suffer and then die and then be raised from the dead and live. That suffering first and life afterwards is the way in which the truth would go. And this is what he was teaching, showing that suffering with death comes first and comfort with life comes second. And then, this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And then, you see, he would point out how Jesus of Nazareth suffered unto death, was raised from the dead, and this really fulfilled the Old Testament pattern. We have to take a little time for this, for us to fully understand why Paul could argue this way in a Jewish synagogue, because he was all in the Old Testament. And the only thing he brought in that wasn't in the Old Testament were the actual facts of the life of Jesus of Nazareth that even those people would have heard about, that everyone would have known. And he claimed that this Jesus, whom I preach, is Christ. That is, he's the chosen one of God talked about in the Old Testament. And this is the classic message of the gospel. I haven't got time to dwell longer on it. I hope to talk to you about it again and again while I'm on the air. I hope in every way and every way I set it out that this idea will show up in what I have to say, that the Christian gospel, God's way of saving the soul, is that we deny ourselves and are crucified with Christ, that we actually pass through the experience of death unto self, that we might be alive unto God. Every single person coming into the fullness of Christian experience has the experience of denying himself unto death, that he might be raised from God unto life. Because if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. That's the classic message. Now look in verse 4. And some believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. Some of the people who listened, some of the people in that Jewish synagogue, when they listened, that's the truth. That's just exactly the way in which it is. And they were given the grace in their hearts to believe it, that this happened and that Jesus of Nazareth really was the Christ, the chosen one of God, who exemplified before the whole world how that the will of God was that a man should suffer unto death, be raised from the dead, and live unto the glory of God forever after. Some believed and consorted, they went with, they lived with, they associated with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Now look at verse 5. But the Jews which believed not. Now who were these Jews? They were the people in the synagogue. They were the people with the Bible. They were the people that had the Old Testament scriptures. Which believed not. What does that mean? They did not believe that what Paul was interpreting out of the Old Testament was true. And they did not believe that Jesus of Nazareth, that they all knew about and they knew that Paul believed in, was really the Christ, and that he really was the chosen one of God. These Jews, which believed not, moved with envy. Why were they moved with envy? They were moved with envy because Paul was so powerful. Paul was so effectual. People were actually being brought under the power of God through Paul's preaching. We would say today that souls were being saved. And in being saved, they would turn to God with joy and with gladness and would actually begin to serve him. And the Jews would notice this. They were moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar. That can be done. A small minority of determined, prejudiced people can arouse sentiment against a whole program. And they did. They aroused the people, set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out unto the people. They actually came there to the house where they were staying and tried to catch Paul and Silas and bring him out before the people so that the people might mob them because of the mob that was aroused. You'd say, well, how in the world could that be? Just because human beings are human beings, they're easily influenced. This is the classic pattern of opposition. Somebody hears the gospel, doesn't believe it. I invariably think they don't want to believe it. That's my own feeling about it. But they don't believe it. And they don't believe it, but they hate to see it succeed. They hate to see it get along. So what can they do? They can start opposition to it. They raise questions about it. And these people did. And they brought the whole city into an uproar in the things they said about Paul and Silas and about the way in which they had done. So here we have seen the classic approach, going in among the people who actually do believe in God, starting to talk to them about the scriptures and showing them the meaning of it. The classic message, showing them that the meaning of what the gospel really was and how Jesus of Nazareth is really the Christ. And then we have the classic pattern of opposition, the people who are opposed to it just because they don't believe it. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to be faithful in our lives. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.